This is the Apple Weekly Report for January 20th, 2007. I'm Ricky Spiro. This is, of course, a Mac Observer podcast, and I'm just realizing that I think the last two shows in January, I've said it's 2006. It's not 2006, in case you were confused. It's 2007. And, of course, if you want to find more information on the companies we talk about in this roundup, you can find them at macobserver.com/roundup. Well, like I promised everyone last week, this roundup, Jeff and I are kind of on a break this week. I've recorded this beforehand. And this week, what I thought I'd do is just send down this feed a few interviews that we took at the end of the show at Macworld last week. These are three interviews with folks at the top of the heap on the projects they work at Freeverse Software, at Shield Zone Corporation, and at Belkin International. Three totally different companies. One is a very independent, minded software developer. Another one is a young startup iPod accessories maker. And then the third one, Belkin, is a big, big company. Belkin, of course, makes all kinds of things from networking infrastructure stuff to iPod accessories, cases, stuff like that. But they're a big firm. And so we talked with some folks. I talked with some folks at each of these different companies and just got their perspectives on the Macworld Expo this year and how it had gone and whether or not they enjoyed it. So I figured I'd send that down this feed for all of you to hear and use that as a kind of context machine all on its own. So enjoy this. Take a listen to it. Send us comments if you have any. Roundup at macobserver.com is the best way to get a hold of us, and we'll be back next week. All right, so I'm here with Ian and Colin Lynch-Smith. Did I get that right?
Yep.
The brothers of Freeverse. And you guys are one of the venerated, the old school shareware developers for the Mac. You guys have been around for certainly as long as I can remember. I wanted to ask you guys about Macworld and how it's going. This is the last day of Macworld. This is Friday. And I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about your impression of the show generally. I mean, was this a good Macworld for you guys?
It was certainly a good one for us. And if Colin says something, you'll see it's been a good one for him too. He's totally hoarse.
I've lost my voice talking to too many people, so that's a good sign of a good Macworld.
Fair enough. And you were saying, we were standing at your booth before, and you were saying most of the product that you have with you has disappeared, so there's a lot of interest in what you're doing. You're selling a lot of stuff.
We love to sell out. That came out sort of strange. If Microsoft is listening, right? Then...
All right, so tell us, just give people a general idea of what it is you're showing here at the show so that people have some context.
We're showing... Freeverse has sort of moved into two different spaces. We're doing sort of a little below pro-level apps, but very useful tools for professionals and sophisticated amateurs. And then we're also still doing the games, of course. And on the game side, we're showing for the first time here at Macworld Heroes of Might and Magic 5 from Ubisoft. It's a game that has a long history, longer than even we do on the Mac. I think the previous four versions all made it over.
Yep.
And Heroes 5 is a great, great game. And check it out on our website or wherever you can see fine trailers.
All right, and that's a turn-based strategy game, right?
Yeah, it's a turn-based strategy game with lots of magic and heroes and might, and it's the end of the week. Please forgive me,
and so
readers
forth.
And
then just again for context, some of those just below pro level apps. That's like Sound Studio and
Lineform is the new one that we just came out with this winter. Lineform is a vector based drawing app, and it won an Apple Design Award. And it's similar to Adobe Illustrator, but it's all brand new cocoa, super fast. It launches in under a second, really, on an iMac. So it's super fast, super effective. It's got a beautiful interface, easy to use, and it's like an eighth the price of Illustrator. So if you're into illustration, check us out.
All right. Now, let me ask you a little bit about this space. I mean, Macworld is, my understanding is that it's a fairly expensive show to show up at. my impression this week has been with the big news that came out of Apple was the iPhone, but even independent of that, there seemed to be more exhibitors this year, and the people that were here were almost vibrating. There's a kind of excitement about the platform that I haven't seen in previous Macworlds. Do you guys get some of that when you're here?
Definitely. I mean, there's never been a better time to be a Mac user or a Mac fan. A lot of us who have been on the platform for a long time have gone through some dark days in the past. But now it's just one hit after another coming out of Apple. And that, you know, the more MacBooks they sell, the better for all software developers and all add-on makers. So, yeah, we're all in a really good space right now.
Yeah. The Mac is growing, and it's great. And Macworld, if you're familiar with the show, it's for the first time in, I think, 2 years, it's actually taken over another hall. So that's a good sign, too.
Yeah, and one of the other things I was curious about, I mean, most of the people here are, I don't know if the right word is traditional developers. I don't think of Freeverse as a traditional developer. You guys tend to show up, like you said, you now work in two different spaces, but you still tend to show up with very interesting and very highly targeted applications or games. Can you talk a little bit about being a shareware developer and how you survive as a shareware developer and how you've done that for so long?
We're a very interesting company in that we did start as shareware developers way back a dozen years ago, but we now have retail boxes in distribution in the Apple stores and CompUSA and worldwide. So we do downloadable stuff still, but we have retail boxes too. So we're no longer really a shareware developer, and we also publish other people's titles. So it puts us in a lot of different camps. We have downloadable content, we're a developer of our own original stuff, we're a publisher of great apps and other people's stuff, and we still do fun things once in a while to be a little different because that's our history.
Well, and there is plenty of Burning Monkey stuff out
there.
Yeah, you're busy.
We're busy.
Definitely busy. And so it sounds like the solution you're talking about is essentially diversifying, the fact that you've made sure that you're working in retail, you're working in publishing, you're still doing the casual gaming stuff.
Especially with all the transitions lately to Intel and to whatever else is transitioning in the Mac market. Diversifying is good. We definitely made a choice to do that a little bit. And again, that was the first choice, and the second choice is to continue doing what we're doing, which is things that appeal to us. And as you said, very targeted, high-quality apps that we...
Business
cool.
Reflects our interests,
and
as our interests spread out, the business goes in more directions as well.
Fair
games,
enough.
Monkeys, vector art, that's about Freeverse right there.
I'm curious if you can say, it sounds like 2006 was a great year for you guys. You know, we're looking at two great new titles that you guys have. What does 2007 look like from your perspective right now? What's coming up?
It's going to be very exciting. I'm not sure I can actually talk about all of it, but stay tuned, because we can't, because some of it is non-disclosure. But it will be a very good year for us, because we have the Big Bang Brain games, I don't think I mentioned yet, that's coming out also. We're still, as of now, our board game pack, the Big Bang board games, is bundled on all consumer Macs. We have a great lineup.
We've got a lot of good things coming out this year, so... Yeah, we're really excited about 2007.
Yeah.
All right. One of the things I wanted to... This is switching gears a little bit. There was an announcement in September, I think. Apple released, for the first time, games for the iPod. There was some discussion when that first happened, and it didn't last very long or travel very far, but a few people perked up their ears and said, this is a little odd. The developers for these, we don't recognize any of them, and there are Mac developers, MacSoft, Freeverse, Ambrosia. They're people that have been developing for the Mac and been developing games titles. I'm curious if Freeverse, the understanding that what Apple does with the iPod, Apple controls, would Freeverse be interested ever in making games for the iPod?
If Steve Jobs ever wants to call us, we'll answer the phone, but...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, we would be interested in making games.
100
for the
million
iPod.
iPods sold.
And that's a no-brainer. I think I think the Microsoft business unit would be interested in making games.
Fair enough. All right. Well, and I'm also curious if you guys have, and again, this might not be something that you can chat about, but have you looked into moving some of your games, particularly things like Solitaire or even some of the more involved stuff, to the iPod?
Well, the problem is the iPod is a closed system, so we can't really make anything for it without getting tapped on the shoulder by Apple letting us do that. So we're very hopeful. We're very anxious for them to open it up and let us make some really cool content, but they haven't yet, so that's where we are.
Fair enough. And I know that from the reaction that our readers give us when they see your products, they'd be very interested in seeing some of them on the iPod too. So let's all hope that happens. Any other final comments on the show? It's Friday morning, but it feels like it's next week already.
It's next year already.
It's been a very long show, I think, certainly for us and probably for you guys too. Any final thoughts?
It's just been terrific. I mean, if next year's show is anywhere close to this one, the Mac is going to be in a very good spot.
Yeah, happy to be in the Mac world.
Cheers. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I'm here right now with Philip Chipping, who's the founder of Shield Zone Corporation, which makes these films, really tough films that you put on various consumer electronic devices. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how the show went. Philip, thanks for talking to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ricky. We're always excited to be on Mac Observer. The show is phenomenal. Macworld is 10 steps above the rest. It's always a fun show. The people are, you know, Mac people, and it's just so much fun. We love it here.
I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit about how your reception was at the show, how busy your booth has been?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, one of the reasons we love the Mac World show is simply because we have a phenomenal reception. This time, has been even better than all the others. We've really made a name for ourselves over 2 years as the premier invisible protection for all your electronic gadgets, and we've just had phenomenal reception. People come into our booth all day long, big crowds. Giving away free video iPods always helps. Just been absolutely great. We've had a ton of questions over the last 3 or 4 days about the iPhone. We've had everybody coming up, are you going to protect the iPhone? Are you going to protect the iPhone? You know, a lot of people actually sitting in the keynote thinking, oh, I got to go talk to Shield Zone. So it's been great.
Great. And that is, as soon as I saw that thing come up, it's got the one button, I guess, but it seems like it'd be really easy, really straightforward to just wrap one of your films around it and
absolutely
still be able to do all the gesturing and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our film, The Invisible Shield, already protects hundreds of different touch screen devices, so that's not a concern for us. We will have The Invisible Shield ready for the iPhone the day it hits consumer shelves, and we'll be ready to go. So we're excited. You know, personally, I'm really excited. I think the iPhone is awesome, and I'm excited to get one myself.
All right. So. Is that going to be the big news for Shield Zone in 2007, do you think? The upcoming iPhone, is that going to be the big product that you're going to
You know, I think that'll probably be one of the bigger ones. Obviously, September roll around, we're excited for the new changes in the iPods themselves. I think the iPod Video will follow suit and, you know, be a full touch screen. But absolutely, I think everybody's really jazzed about the iPod or the iPhone. So
I want to ask you a little bit more about Macworld. You are in the North Hall, the exhibit hall, and for people that aren't familiar with the show, that means there are two halls. The traditional one where Macworld has always been is the South Hall, and that's the big one where Apple's booth is and the two-story crazy, ridiculous booths are. This is the new hall that they opened because the show got bigger this year.
Right.
And I'm curious, the reputation when people are sitting around in the media lounge and when people are sitting around in other parts of the show, people have the impression that this is a very sleepy part of the show. Some of the people in the media lounge are saying, those are the exhibitors with tears in their eyes waiting by the benches. Have you been disappointed with your position in the North Hall or the traffic in the North Hall?
You know, really we haven't. I was a little worried at the beginning also because we've always been in the South Hall. And they're trying to separate and put all of the iPod accessories all over here in the North Hall. And especially if you don't pay right now for next year, which obviously for a lot of smaller businesses, you don't want to put out 10 grand and sit, you know, not have that for a year. But, you know, we have an excellent placement, I think, in the North Hall. If we were tucked back in a corner somewhere, I think it'd been a little bit worse. But, you know, we've had just a phenomenal reception. And to be completely honest, we've got four guys here. We have not had a moment's rest. We've been busy nonstop the whole show. So I've been really happy.
I'm curious how much this is not something I don't know about the process of registering to exhibit here. How much control do you have over your position in the hall?
It kind of goes in, you know, they give you, for example, during the show, a time that you can come to the sales booth, and your time, for example, the first time that we could go register for a space for next year was on Thursday. That's 3 days into the show. So that shows you, you know, we get a 10 by 10 booth every year. We're not as important as the big guys that get first choices, that spend a lot of money and spend it right now for next year. So, you know, by the time we usually register, there's about 60 or 70% of the show floor already sold out. But Macworld is one of those shows that's just so great. There's just so many people. You almost can't have a bad spot because no matter where you are on the floor, there will be people there.
That's good, and that's gratifying to hear that even in this hall where the impression at least has been that the traffic has been smaller, that you guys are still happy with your reception. Any other, we're now on Friday, everyone's a little punchy and woozy from a week of Macworld. I'm curious if you have any final thoughts about the show, any last comments.
You know, see every inch of it, go see the iPhone, fight the 10 or 20 foot deep crowd to get to the iPhone. It's a sight to behold, you know, and come back next year. It's a fun place to be, and, you know, saw Robin Williams and Sinbad, and you know, so it's just a really fun place to be.
Great. Well, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ricky. Okay.
All right. So I'm here with Shane Igo, the product marketing manager of Belkin. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Great. We're actually no longer on the show floor. We got shut down. We're going to meet on the show floor to talk a little bit, and we're now out in the Marriott near the Moscone Center. But Shane, thanks for coming on the show and talking to us.
Thank you for having me, Ricky.
I want to start just by asking the general question: how did the show go for you guys?
It was really exciting. I mean, obviously the highlight of the show is the iPhone. That was something that I know a lot of people have been planning for, including us, for quite a while. And it was good to see, you know, what kind of functionality, what kind of interfaces you're able to have, and how advanced the handoff between or among the different functionalities is. And that really, that's the thing that we were really excited about in the show. Obviously, things have progressed over the last few years in the iPod area. People really diving deep into trying to find innovative areas. So it was good to see what else was out in the market. We thought that we were able to bring a lot of brought a lot of innovation and get a lot of excitement generated from what Belkin was able to bring.
And we actually, as people are listening to this, the previous week's show, I was talking with Jeff about your booth. I actually picked you as one of our winners of exhibitors for the week. We were saying, hey, Belkin, I think Belkin was a winner this week. And my impression was your booth, for anyone that wasn't there, Belkin had a two-story booth with a lot of stuff in it, but rather than displaying products on shelves, you had kind of a lifestyle vibe to what you're doing there. You were showing the products being used. You had a bed set up with a TV, and you had someone on a bike listening to an iPod, and all using your products and showing how they could integrate into a lifestyle. Can you talk a little bit about that and how it compares to ways you've done it in the past, and whether you think it was, I mean, are you going to do that again next year?
Well, I can't comment exactly what we're going to do next year, but it really gets down to the core of where our culture and what we're going forward with. And we really spend a lot of time and energy researching what people want and how people use devices, whether it be their, you know, their MacBooks, their iPod, whole host of different consumer electronics, and how can we get into people's lives or help people achieve what they really want to achieve with those products. So we're kind of like you hear the term the last mile in connectivity. Well, we're really kind of the last feet, or we hope to enhance everybody's experience, and that really the touch points
in that last mile.
And you can't do that unless you really understand how people use the products. So we have some really talented people who put together the booth, and it really ties back into how we start making the products in the first place.
Fair enough. Now, you guys were positioned right next to Apple's booth. Apple's booth, at least certain parts of it, particularly the places where they had the pedestals with the magic floating iPhones, was packed all week. I'm curious, in terms of position, Belkin was, aside from Apple, one of the most prominent booths there. How did that work out for you? Is that where you like to be? Was that a good place for you guys to be?
Well, I think I personally found it a lot of fun. My own selfish reasons is I got to see the iPhone demonstration a lot, and you could see the differences between or among all the people who were able to that were showing it off. There's a lot of cool features, and we're able to see a lot of that. Obviously, it's good to be near Apple, but frankly, you're at Macworld. It's, you know, you're getting people walking all around, and we were able to get people excited about our products. They're able to see Apple. They're able to see how you can interact with the Apple products. Just in general, I think it definitely helped feed the excitement in our booth.
Fair enough. Now, there's also an issue about the, one of the things that has to come to mind when you look at a booth that size. My understanding is that Macworld, compared to other trade shows, is a pretty expensive show. Is there a reason? I mean, you make CES, obviously, is a big deal as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I wasn't at CES this year, but one of our guys was out at CES and said that it was just swarming with iPod accessories.
I agree. There are a lot of iPod accessories at CES.
What was Belkin's presence like there versus here, and why did you make whatever decision you did in that respect?
Yeah, well, you can... CES is obviously also very important for us. We've had deep roots with Macworld for a long, long time. And so we didn't tone down our messaging at Macworld, even though they're at the same time. We thought that this was Macworld is just as important to us, and we really wanted to, look at when you compare the two. There's different audience. Definitely at Macworld, you're getting people who ask really interesting questions. You're getting people who take the Toontalk stereo and use it to its limits, and you really have some good feedback from people.
So is it one of my impressions of Macworld? First of all, it's not quite an order of magnitude, but there is a much smaller exhibitor list, shorter exhibitor list,
mm-hmm.
at Macworld than at CES. And so one of my senses is that it's easier to kind of rise above the din here than at CES. And that alongside that, there's the fact that Macworld tends to get covered disproportionately with the number of exhibitors and the, mm-hmm. and the people that use the products even. Is that true? Does that figure into your calculus at all? I mean, is this a better covered show? Is this a better value for the money than CES, or am I making that up?
I don't know if we've actually, we're not looking at it as a, you know, running a financial analysis on, you know, which shows the better value. We're looking at it as this is a great opportunity to express what we've been doing, what our team has been able to come up with. And you're talking about different, slightly different audiences, tons of end users at Macworld. Obviously CES has entire consumer electronic industry is going to be there as well. They're both areas that, you know, we really value, and we value the feedback. We value being able to express what we've been able to do. So we're not going to We don't have any plans to diminish either one anytime soon. And we set the bar high every year internally that we're going to want to make sure that we are continuously making it more exciting, better, and really speaking to the people who are going to come through the booth. And hopefully a lot of people had a good time at the booth this year.
Fair enough. And one last thing, any final thoughts? What's 2007 going to be like for Belkin? What's going to be a big story for Belkin in 2007?
Well, you know, we've obviously there's a lot of new functions that come off the iPhone. We've been looking forward to it for quite a while. The Bluetooth functionality is going to mean a whole host of different things. It's been areas that we've been investing in for quite a long time. So I think there's going to be a lot.
And I'm afraid that that is where that interview has to end. The batteries on the little recorder I was using ran out. Funny story. I'll talk about it next week. Next week, we're actually going to do a product roundup of portable recorders, ways to record your audio on the road. In this particular case, this was with the R09, which uses a couple AA batteries and didn't have enough on hand, apparently. Again, I'll talk about it next week. All of the interviews in this show were recorded using the R09 from Eterol. And there's another recorder called the Zoom H4 that we're going to talk about, and the Marantz PMD660, all of which are very interesting products for different applications. So check in next week. We're going to do that on the product roundup. We're going to talk about a little bit of news. And of course, thank you all so much for listening. We're now just a little bit of the way into the first year of doing the report. But it's been fun for us, and we hope you're having fun too. Keep on listening. Stay subscribed. Until next week, we'll see you online. Cheers. Bye.